Good morning, everybody. My name is Saju, and I am the vicar here. Yes, believe it or not, yes. Proper one, as opposed to the fake one that was there for the last 4 years. I lead this church and the one that meets on St. Mary's Island as well. And I sense what Ben actually shared might be what some of you might need to probably take home today. Stand in the gap and do not fear. Receive God's word if that is for you. If that gains a sense of conviction in your heart, do not fear. For I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you walk through the waters, I will be with you. When you walk through fire, I will be your God. Do not fear. Ben, I receive that because I have a sense that word is for me. Let me tell you why. You didn't know that. Raymond and I have been chatting this week on the phone and in person and in text, and that is what we've been talking about. That sense of word that we need to receive as a church at certain points in time, and one of them being, do not fear. Do not fear human beings. There is such a tendency in the human heart to impress and to be good, and to be nice. And God's word to my heart is, do not fear. I have redeemed you. Maybe that is a word for some of us today, this morning. Do not fear. Standing in the gap is exactly where we are, but those of you who have not been following this series, I just want to very briefly walk through the long walk with you. Long Walk to Freedom, of course, is the autobiography of the legendary Nelson Mandela, who wrote this book called Long Walk to Freedom, having spent many years in prison, challenging the racist apartheid system. And he wrote the book, Long Walk to Freedom. And I've argued that Long Walk to Freedom is exactly what's going on in the book of Numbers. Remember me teaching you a few weeks ago, I wanted to show you how good an artist I am, so I brought this back. That makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Right, let me explain. Here is Egypt. And God's people were in slavery in Egypt. And there is a road that takes you, it's called the Via Maris, into what is called the Promised Land. That journey should have taken 3 weeks. 3 weeks if you're walking fast. 4 weeks if you're walking slow. What should have taken between 3 to 4 weeks took the people of God 40 years in wilderness. And I said that it kind of feels like some of our lives. What ought to be a straightforward journey into the Promised Land, we find ourselves in wilderness. And wilderness comes in many shapes, in many forms, in many sizes. Now, if you really want to follow through the series in the last few weeks, we've got a website, and the website is brilliant because we record all our sermons and we put it on the website. And if you haven't been following this series, let me show you how to do it. This, if you type in St. Mark's Gillingham, you will come onto this page and you will see the back of your necks and your heads. And if you go into the middle of the page is a sermon slot. And you can see all the series there, Stars, Bells, Jonah, Missionary Journeys, I Am, Money Matters, Thy Kingdom Come, Feed the 5,000, all the series we've been doing for a number of years, it's all there. And right at the top is Long Walk to Freedom. And down there, you've got all the series. If you haven't been following it, that is a very, very good place indeed to start. What should it have taken 3 or 4 weeks took people 40 years. They found themselves in the land between, in the liminal space, if you like. And they were learning some extraordinary lessons. Lessons that is not possible for you to learn in the Promised Land or in the Egypt. It was fertile ground for complaints. It was fertile ground for bewilderment. There was meltdown. There was the weight of discouragement. And there was also a place of provision and discipline and transformational growth. But it was also the place where faith went to die. If you're taking notes this morning, take this down. The difference between where you are and where God wants you to be in the end is the unwillingness to endure the long road. The difference between where you are and where God wants you to be is the unwillingness that is there in your heart and mind to bear the long road. Because if someone tells you Christianity is easy, tell them it is not. If anybody you hear who are new to the Christian faith, can I promise you, it'll cost you your life. It is prosperity gospel that says health and wealth is what you will get if you become a follower of Jesus Christ. But it is the most exciting journey. There is no better way to live your life apart from being a follower of Jesus Christ. One of the things that we learn on the long walk is prayer. In our passage today, Moses prays, not any prayer, but intercessory prayer. One of the things that we learn on the long walk is to mind the gap. You see, mind the gap is a call of God on all our lives. Is that right? If you go to London Underground, if you don't mind the gap, what will happen? Let me tell you what will happen. You will die or you will be badly hurt. Mind the gap is a call of God on every believer. The shape of those gaps might be very different, and we're going to unpack that today. Mind the gap could be a global gap. Mind the gap could be a local gap. Mind the gap could be, the gap could be in the home. The gap could be in the neighborhood. The gap could be a locality. A gap could be a university campus. A gap could be 14,500 people who live in this parish. So the gaps will look different, but for us collectively as a body, the gap is our parish. God's plan from time immemorial is people like you. And dare I say, people like me. Some gaps look like, hey, listen, I'm missing out some really good all-age services. I heard such good things about last week, what Jess talked about. Jess, where are you? Jess, you were talking about your gap, weren't you? There is a gap in your school. Jess, I understand, is a teacher. She's good at that. She last week explained the fact that she, as a teacher, is minding the gap amongst the 300, 400, 500 children that you have the privilege of influencing. Our gaps look very, very different. And today, I kind of think the best way to learn about intercessory prayer, why is it called intercessory prayer? What is the point of that? It is a Latin word, inter, which means in between, cessa, go, to go into in between. That's what intercessory prayer means. It's exactly to go and stand in the gap. That's what Moses does. I'm going to teach that later. But one gap that is actually has got a gaping hole in our world today, you will have heard on the news so many times in the last few weeks, is the gap between India and Pakistan. It is a big gap, massive gap. Why? Because there are 1.5 billion people representing those two nations. That means if there are 6 people in the world, 1.5 are either Indian or Pakistan. I say this joke. Hey, listen, there are six people in the world, one is Indian. If you don't believe it, come to my house. There are six people who live in the house, one is an Indian, that's me. Anyway, with that in mind, I'm going to invite Raymond Shergill. Where are you, Raymond? Raymond is a lot of things, but Raymond is our church warden. And Raymond, believe it or not, was born in Lahore in Pakistan. And I was born in Kerala in India. Raymond and I are friends. Raymond and I are brothers in Christ. Now, if you don't see the significance of what is going on here as we lead us in a time of intercessions, I think you really need some help. Because there is an extraordinary animosity between two nations, India and Pakistan. And it's not just an animosity that is, say, for example, like England and Scotland, or England and, dare I say, Europe, because we are nuclear powers. India and Pakistan are nuclear powers in the world, but there is extraordinary animosity. As Ray and I were texting each other, Ray suggested, wouldn't it be great for us to lead our incredible church in prayer as we stand in the gap between India and Pakistan? Do you see the significance? Show of hands if you see the significance. Because the cross of Jesus Christ has made him my brother. The reality is, you see, my friends, there are some aspects of our lives where we seek reconciliation. Other aspects of our lives, God has done everything possible for us to be reconciled. May I finish in 5 minutes with one last reflection? It was Charles Spurgeon, the famed preacher, who taught, just as from every town and hamlet and village in England there is a road to London, from every text of Scripture there is a road to Christ. Just as much from every hamlet and village in England there is a road to London, from every text of Scriptures there is a road to Christ. And I wonder what the road to Christ is from the reading we have from Numbers 14. You see, last time I taught you how Moses was not wanting to do this job. He said, Lord, these people are a pain in the back of my neck. Well, he didn't say that. He said, why did I give birth to these people? I don't want to do this job. He's suicidal. And now somehow in this passage, he's actually defending the people. Split personality, one might say. He's in this passage saying, Lord, what will the nation say if you abandon these people in the desert? It is God who has had enough of these people. And Moses stands in the gap. Let me tell you where the road to London is in this passage. Just as Moses stood in the gap between God and his people, there is another man who stood in the gap between God and his people. Remember, to intercede is to stand in the gap. The ministry of intercession fundamentally belongs to Jesus. As we speak today, Jesus is interceding on your behalf, on your behalf, on your behalf for you and me. That is what Jesus is doing. When Jesus said from the cross, Father, Forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. He had you and me in mind. He was interceding. When Jesus said from the cross, "It is finished," what Jesus was doing was interceding. Do you see it? Just as much as there is a way, a highway, a roadway, a pathway from every passage in Scripture, from the book of Numbers, there is a passage. Jesus is it. Right at the heart of the life of our church is not about you or not about me. It is about Jesus. Jesus is the best thing that can happen to the 14,500 people who live in our parish. He is the best thing. If not you and I, who? If not now, when? Holy Spirit, call us to yourself. May we see the gaps that you have sparked in our minds in the way you see it. May we see the places that you've placed in our minds in the way you see it. May we see the people that you've placed in our minds this morning in the way you see it. Holy Spirit, come. Pour out compassion into our souls. Holy Spirit, give us the gift of tears. Holy Spirit, come. Do your work in us.